Today I'll be reading Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good.
It seems to me that we are usually willing to do things if there is something in it for us. Other times, we may be willing to do something if we are curious about it. But the question I want to present to us this morning, just what are we willing to do? The prophet Isaiah received a vision of God in chapter 6. It is a powerful passage, and the question raised by the Lord in this text is a question of willingness. As God's people, we need to be willing to go when God calls us. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Well, I want us to consider three questions from this text. Number one, are we willing to recognize the call of God? Notice again his confession in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" When confronted with God's holiness, Isaiah was very much aware of his sinfulness. And so he affirms, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live and dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So when confronted with God's holiness, we are aware of our sinfulness. But next, his consecration, verses 6 and 7. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.'" Isaiah experienced God's forgiveness and cleansing. We recognize God's holiness. We understand our sinfulness, but we are so thankful for God's cleansing, for God's forgiveness that he gives to us. And then finally, his commission. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. The Lord needed someone to go, and the prophet responded in a very positive way. Here am I. Send me. But number two, are we willing to hear the call of God? To recognize it and then to hear it. God calls us to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your conduct or in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The call to holiness, the call to live a holy life, a distinctive life, a dedicated life, a disciplined life. I think all of that is involved in this call to be holiness. And as we have sung this morning, we need to take time to be holy. It does take time and effort and desire to be holy like God has called us. I've shared the little story before, but it's always one that comes to mind when I think of this call to be holiness. We've sung the song, but the little country congregation had a long service and they went too long. And the preacher at the end of the service said, the service has gone entirely too long. And so we're just going to sing one verse of Take Time to Be Holy. Maybe not the best song to have sung at that particular point. Take time to be holy. So it does take time, takes effort, but we're called to be holy. But God also calls us to be salt and light. Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So what a challenge here that Jesus lays out for all of us. You are to be the salt of the earth. You are to add some flavor to life. You are to be a preservative power. You are to be a healing power in life. The call to be salt, the call to be light, to enlighten the way. God's word enlightens our way, and therefore we try to be a light for others. So God calls us to be salt and light. But he also calls us to be his disciples. Matthew 28, Jesus' commission. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus spoke with all authority, and then he said, I want you to go out there and make disciples of all the nations. I want you to baptize them, and then I want you to continue to teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And then the promise that I am going to be with you always. And sometimes I think we must not forget that final line is that Jesus promises to be with us as we go out there and attempt to share the good news of Christ with others, the ever-present Christ. It's interesting to me that Matthew's gospel is kind of bracketed with that idea, because there in the beginning you call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And here at the end, as he's about to leave, he said, I am going to be with you always, even to the close of the age. And then are we willing to answer the call of God, to recognize it, to hear it, and to answer the call of God? What about Moses, at least initially? Exodus chapter 3, therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. So here Moses was reluctant to respond in a positive way to the call of God. And this is just the first of four or five excuses that he gives there in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. What about Jonah? Chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down in it and go with him to Tarshish from the presence, away from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah, of course, did not respond, "Here am I, send me. I will be the one to go to Nineveh." Now, he initially did, and God gave them a second chance, because chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time and said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And that time, Jonah did respond and do what God had asked him to do. But what about Isaiah? "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" God wants us to willingly serve Him. He is still calling us today. We've got to recognize His call. We've got to listen and hear that call. We've got to answer it. That listening is very, very important. You know, recognizing it, really listening, you know, to it, and then answering that call in a positive way. I remember a quote from Winston Churchill, where he said, "It takes courage to stand up and speak. And it takes courage sometimes to sit down and listen. Perhaps it takes more courage sometimes to sit down and listen and really listen and hear God's call. And then after we have really listened and heard God's call, then we try to respond to that call in a very positive way." The text that Ryan read for us from Jonah reminds us of some things that the Lord requires of us. That text says that we are to fear the Lord our God. We are to walk in all of His ways, to love Him and serve Him with all of our heart and soul. Who will go for us? "Here am I, send me." Now, sometimes that may mean, and we talked a little bit about this in our class this morning, sometimes that may mean kind of getting out of our comfort zone. And as I've done before, one time before, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. But I can do this now, because I've got a mic. This is out of my comfort zone, because I am really attached to that pulpit. "Here am I, send me." I want to challenge every member of this congregation to have that attitude. "Here am I, send me." We've got a men's planning breakfast here this Saturday. Man, I want to encourage you to try to be there, to find out some ways that you can respond in a positive way to God's call. We're going to try to figure out a number of ministries in which you can be involved. And I want you to be involved. I want you to have that attitude of the Isaiah. "Here am I, send me." Once we can put together some things and we all can figure, and there is something for all of us to do. And I'm appealing to our seniors. I'm appealing to our young professionals. I'm appealing to our young people. A lot of our young people are not here today. They're on a retreat where are they? Gulf Coast, okay, Gulf Coast Bible Camp. That's right, Gulf Coast Bible Camp. So that's where they are. And my thing's coming off. But I want to encourage our young people, our everybody, to try to have that attitude of "Here am I? Send me. What can I do? Just if I think if we have that kind of attitude, if we're open, if we really want, you know, to do that, then I think the Lord is going to find a way. And hopefully, as leaders of the congregation, they will try to provide you some opportunities where you can plug in and really go out there and make a difference in our community. You can really be the salt of the earth. You can be the light of the world. You can make a difference. You know, the old thing, you may just be one in the world, but you may be the world to just one. Remember, you can. Every one of us in this room can make it. And you're making a difference. I don't mean to imply that you're not. And I appreciate everything that goes on in this congregation. It thrills my soul when I go back there, at least on Wednesday, when we're packing those bags for the food giveaway. I mean, our young people are back there really involved, you know, in doing that. And that is very encouraging. But we all need to find a way, find something that, that we can do. Have that attitude. And we're going to do our very best here to try to help everyone find a place where he or she can serve the Lord. And then when that opportunity presents itself, that you're going to respond. Here am I. Send me. That takes a lot. That takes a lot of faith. That takes some courage. But I believe with all of my heart that once you have that kind of attitude, that the Lord will certainly help you as you go out there and serve Him. And remember what we've mentioned from Matthew 28. I'm going to be with you always, even to the close of the world. And I remember one of the missionaries who had gone to India early on and had a difficult time. Even was attacked by a lion, and the lion, I think, actually ripped his arm off, tore his arm off. And then he came back to the country to give a report to the congregation, and he was going to be going back, and they said, "Why are you going back? Look what happened to you. How can you go back?" He said, "The thing that will always stay with me is what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." That promise is what will sustain me and motivate me to go back and to continue trying to share the gospel with those people in that part of the world. So whenever you make that commitment, here am I, send me, remember, you have the Lord's promise to be with you. Isn't that what He told Moses initially? You know, who am I that I should go? And what was the first thing that God said to him? Moses, I will be with you. You. It's interesting, you know, who am I? And then what did God say? He talked about I am. You know, it's not who am I, but it's who is God. And if we really have that uppermost in our minds and our hearts, we'll go out there and make a difference. We're going to sing our song of encouragement here. And if there is anyone here today who is ready to respond to the call of God through faith, repentance, baptism, we hope that you'll come and do that today. If anyone desires the prayers of the congregation, we hope that you'll come, and we will be glad to pray with you and to pray for you, to encourage you, to help you, support you in any way that we possibly can. But I do pray that we all will do our very best when it comes to the Lord's work and in those areas that we're going to try to find for everybody to plug into. I just pray, God, would you all help us to have that spirit of Isaiah. Whom shall I send? Who's going to go for us? Here am I. Send me. Let's stand together and sing.
There is much to do, there's work on earth.